Praise the Lord. Well, how many of you are glad to be a Christian tonight? Amen. You sure? All right. Glad to be a Christian. Glad to be involved in God's things in these days. Praise God. Hallelujah. We thank God for all that He is doing in this church, Rhema Bible Church. We're so glad to be a part of that and joining together with the vision that God has given our pastors to be. You know, this is a unique church among churches in that so many people launch from this place. It's like a launching pad. This is Cape Canaveral. Okay? This isn't Houston where they land. This is Cape Canaveral where they take off from. I mean, this is Florida. This is, this is out there, and this is where the rocket gets launched. And so many people have launched from here over the years and from this place, and God has used this place. But we're, in order to have that, you know, how many of you know there's a ground staff there at Cape Canaveral at NASA? There's people that work there that stay there. They don't get to go up in the rocket, but they're just as important as those that do go up in the rocket. How many of you know that? So those of us that are staying here, are still here, I'm going to tell you right now, you are just as important as anybody that ever gets sent out that goes, no matter where they go around the world. You're just as important because you're doing what God called you to do, right? You say, well, I'm still waiting to be launched. Well, that's all right, but don't sit there and do nothing while you're waiting. I don't know where all that came from. That wasn't even part of the sermon tonight, but it's good enough. Glory to God. Well, I gave them a list of scriptures, and as I was sitting there, I was reminded of one I actually want to start with, and that's 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, there's a lot going on. You know, you can't, now, how many of you agree, we can't expect non-Christians to act like Christians, right? Why would we expect the sinner to do anything other than sin? It's their nature. I heard a guy say one time, well, maybe if we were as true to our nature as sinners are to their nature, we might infect some people. But let's just look at something. I want you to see something here just in the first two verses of this chapter. We won't read the whole list here. I like to call this the future leaders of the body of Christ. This is the pond we're fishing in here. But he says, this know also that in last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And as I was reminded there, and I'll get to my subject here in just a little bit, but as I was reminded there, as I was doing praise and worship, that first characteristic there, lover of their own selves. You know, if we're not careful, we think life is about us. And we get so self-centered, that's a great term, self-centered, that we don't live, you cannot live a Christian life and be self-centered. It's not about me. Now, God's going to meet all my needs because I'm His child. And yes, we use our faith to receive that which we have need of, absolutely. But my having my needs met gives me a greater ability to serve others. And notice that in the last days, though, a characteristic that's going to be in the world, and unfortunately sometimes it creeps over into the church, is that people be lover of their own selves. We're supposed to be what? We're supposed to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, nothing wrong with loving yourself, but if that's the number one thing on your mind, we're not going to do what God's called us to do, and why we're still here on this earth. You know, the Bible says we're citizens of heaven now. We're ambassadors here. Now, no ambassador, listen to me, no ambassador goes from the United States to another country, lives in another country for themselves. They're not there for themselves. They're there to represent this nation to the people that are there, right? We are in this earth right now to represent the Lord Jesus Christ to the people of this earth who are living in perilous times. And who themselves are lover of themselves. Well, if we're lover of ourselves and the world's lover of themselves, what's the difference? What's the attraction? Where's the difference? If you're going to live just like me, why do I want to be like you? Lover of their own selves, he said. But he gets down later, and the King James says, and they are unthankful. Unthankful. Other translations say ungrateful. Same thing. Notice that characteristic. Being un, meaning lack of or non-thankful or grateful. That's a characteristic that's in this world today. And unfortunately, if we're not careful, if we allow ourselves to be lovers of ourselves, it will be a characteristic that we have as a Christian. We will be unthankful. We're not created to be that way. And the Word of God has a lot to say about the subject of thankfulness and praise. In teaching on the subject of prayer, Brother Hagin, you know, would always read Ephesians 5 and talk about all manner and all kinds of prayer. And he'd eventually get to the prayer, he called it the prayer of praise and worship. He would call this the highest form of prayer. It's where you're not asking God for anything, you're just being thankful to God. You're just praising and worshiping God. So I want us to go to Isaiah chapter 61. Now here in Isaiah 61, first three verses, we see that about half of it, verse 1 and 2, Jesus preaches from when he's in his own hometown there in the beginning of his ministry. It's recorded in Matthew 4 and also recorded in Luke 4. Remember, he was there and he said it was given unto him the book of Isaiah the prophet, and he found where it was written. Well, here's where it was written. Chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he stopped right there. He stopped right there because the rest of it was for after he had risen and things that were to come. The day of the vengeance of our God, and comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Notice this, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. The garment of praise. You know, I know that was one thing that when I got born again, and came, you know, started fellowshipping with those outside my denominational church that I grew up in. They were praisers. They just loved to praise God. They would stop and praise God. I mean, that group was, we were with, you know, in those early days, a small little Bible study had people from all different denominations in our town that, you know, gotten spirit filled, and they'd get together and somebody, they'd take testimonies and somebody give a testimony, God had done this for them. And they'd fire up, they'd sing a song. They'd always got a song that followed, just simple little choruses. You remember those little choruses we all used to sing, you know, just simple little things. But there was always a thankfulness and a gratefulness about us. And we should never, ever lose that. We should never take off the garment of praise. Now, if I'm a lover of myself, if it's all about me, then I'm going to be living in this, what do you say, garment of praise for the what? The spirit of heaven. I'm going to be living this burdened down life if it's all about me. The first thing you need to get free from is you. Get delivered from you. Let God take care of you. Get delivered from you. See, when you worry, when you worry, you're saying, God, I don't think you can handle this. I better put some thought to it. Now, that doesn't mean we don't study God's word and do things God's way. We have our part. Don't misunderstand me now. Don't go in the ditch. driving the road here. But what I'm saying is, thankfulness is the highest form of faith that there is. You're thanking God. Now, Jesus, he talked about, the Bible talks about this. Let's go over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Being thankful. I know one of the things that I first noticed about my friend in who I've ministered with now for over 20 years in the nation of Kenya. As we would be, a lot after going over there, a lot of times I'd be there just me and him, and we'd be traveling all over from one day to the next. We'd be driving to a new location to preach, and a lot of times it'd be, you know, we'd be, he made it a road with his car, but basically it was a walk path, you know, back through the hedge. But we're back out in the, you talk about when people say the bush, that's where we were. You get out there, there's no electricity, there's nothing, but there's people everywhere. Living, they're raising livestock to support themselves. They're raising their own vegetables and got banana trees and pineapples, and the eating's good, folks. I'm gonna tell you, the eating is good when you get out there, because I know they didn't eat that way all the time, but when I was there, they ate that way, and I thank God for it. Okay, but I'm talking about preaching in a church that I don't know if it was a church or not, but it was probably somebody's house, but it was just a one room place. And you'd have to, if you wanted to read your Bible, you had to stand by a door or a window to see the light. There's no electricity in there. But people just sing and just be so thankful and so to God. And according to the world's idea, didn't have a thing. But they had Jesus. But I noticed we'd be going along and he'd be just, we'd be driving along and sometimes we'd talk, but sometimes and it's every once in a while he'd just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He'd just start singing, a song and just sing a little bit. And some of the songs I knew because they'd been singing and he'd teach them to me. And we'd sing and just go along. But he had this lifestyle of thankfulness. I know that he was staying at my mom and dad's house up in Illinois and preached there for my brother-in-law and his church and then at another church. And we got back to the house Sunday, this was actually a nighttime service. We got back to the house that night and I was in there talking to my mom and dad. And I walked by in his room. His door was cracked. And I know when I walked by, I just kind of glanced in there. He's on his knees there next to the bed. And I heard him, thank you, God, for all you did tonight. But he has an attitude of thankfulness. Thankfulness. Amen. And here in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, Hebrews 13, 15 says, by him, of course, talking about Jesus, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Giving thanks to his name. He calls it the sacrifice of praise. It's the fruit of our lips. It's giving thanks to his name, an attitude of thankfulness. Ephesians chapter 5. Really, according to the Bible, you haven't prayed if you haven't thanked God. We'll see that in a moment. Thankfulness, being thankful, having gratitude is essential in our life. And it's going to, like I said, we got to get delivered from ourselves. I can't have me in my mind if I'm thanking God. Every time I start thanking God, I deliver myself from me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, thank you for what you have done. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful sanctuary we're sitting in tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this soft seat I got here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this auditorium that has stood the test of time. We're talking about changing the color, but thank God for what it's done for us. Thank God for the service that it's, how many people have received from God on this pink line up here over the years. Thank God. See, when you maintain that, it keeps you from being like the children of Israel who griped and complained when all along they had the promised land in front of them and it was not that long of a walk to go in there, but they kept walking in circles because they complained so much. And they never got to where they were supposed to get. They died out there in the wilderness until a new generation rose up. I'm not going to die in the wilderness. I don't know about you. Okay?
That's right.
Amen. Now here in Ephesians 5, look at verse 18. You're familiar with this, most of you. But let's read this. He says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now he's talking about staying full of the Spirit. Amen. speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in God, unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's what I noticed that this, my friend, would do. He'd speak to himself all during the day. He just, you could hear him speaking. And he's speaking these psalms, hymns. These are songs that are sung towards God. Spiritual songs that come out of the very, very, from our heart. Making melody in our heart. Now who to who? To the Lord. Giving thanks always. Well, you say, well, I'm not a singer. Well, he didn't necessarily say you had to sing. He said you could speak it out. Hallelujah. But notice the attitude of it is, when I'm speaking to myself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in my heart to the Lord, I'm giving thanks. Always. In every part of it, there's the attitude and there's the aspect of giving thanks to the Lord. Giving thanks. You know, I know that, you know, it's easy to get down and to, if you just, I mean, all you have to do is relax and the world will take you drifting down the river. Any of you ever been canoeing or rafting that? Have you ever tried to go upriver against the current? You know, if you're headed downriver with the current, it's easy to float that way. But try to turn that canoe around. You've realized how narrow that canoe just became, right? Because now the current's hitting you broadside. And you're still, you know, you're working hard. If you finally do get it pointed back up river, then you got to start rowing. And that's the way this world is. The world, see, because the river is flowing away from its source. Think about it. Every river flows away from its source. And the world's flowing away from the source, who's God. But the Christian's going back upstream. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to let out our net and drag as many and catch as many people with us that are going downstream as we go back towards God. Now thank God for the help of the Holy Ghost. Let the Holy Spirit build a big sail in your boat and let him blow in it. Let the wind of the Holy Ghost blow in your boat and he'll help you row. You don't have to work so hard if you follow the Holy Ghost. Amen. But that idea of thankfulness. Now, well, how do we thank God? He said here, for all things. Now, we know God didn't bring all things in our life. But, you know, you can be thankful no matter what's going on in your life. I can be thankful no matter what's happening. Look at Colossians chapter 3. These are just want to remind ourselves tonight. Amen? To be thankful. I don't know about you, but here lately I've been... And I've been telling the students about it a little bit, just trying to, but I can go through some pages. I've been reading some things and just some scriptures. And every once in a while, the Lord just stopped me and said, look at that. And I'll write in my Bible, it's not about me. Well, actually, I just write, not about me. Like, let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Why? It's not about me. You see, if I'm going to do what God's called me to do, I got to let him take care of me. I've got to put my attention on others and helping others. Here in Colossians 3, verse 16 and 17, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatever you do. See, you can't. Now listen. Think about that. You ought to stop sometimes and say, wait a minute. Can I do this in the name of Jesus? Can I say this in the name of Jesus? Amen. Tell your neighbor, wake up. You're missing a good sermon. Tell him right now. Just tell him, wake up. You're looking at me like, oh, okay. No, you can't gripe and complain in the name of Jesus. I'll tell you what, nobody just never liked me. In Jesus' name. No, you can't do that. No, you speak the name of Jesus. You're speaking victory. You're speaking, overcoming. And it's giving. Notice how giving of thanks and that name work together. Every time I say the name of Jesus, glory to God, I'm thanking God. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Hallelujah. He says here, whatever, giving thanks to God. Doesn't matter what's going on. Philippians chapter 4. All right, I just got this one and one more scripture written down, so thank God. What does that mean? Absolutely nothing. But I just wanted to let you know that. Here in Philippians chapter 4, you know, it says here, be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. I kind of joke sometimes, you know, we get, and it's good to know what the original word meant, you know, and how it's, but you know what the original word means that's translated nothing there? Not one thing. I don't know, I made that up. But that, you know, what does nothing mean? Not one thing, right? He said, don't worry about anything. See, because when I'm worrying, I've got me on my mind. I've made it all about me again. You see, worry and thankfulness do not go together. In fact, worry causes heaviness, and the garment of praise has been given unto us to overcome heaviness. So the cure for worry is to be thankful to God. Thankful. It doesn't matter. Whatever situation you're in life. Listen, this is not the end. This is not the end. Amen. I mean, you can look at life. I mean, every one of us. And we're not going to take time to have testimonies on this, dear Lord. But every one of us can testify, well, I wish I had this in my life. Or, I wish I had all my hair still, but I don't. But thank God I got some. You want to loan me some? But, you know, why spend time griping and complaining about that? Now, I did find out something that this summer, back in June, we were in Kenya, and my dear friend told me, he said, oh, dear brother, don't go to Uganda. I said, why not? He said, well, they found out whatever causes people to go bald, not just cut their hair, but go bald, whatever that is, that chemical, it's valuable. And so they've been killing people and cutting their head off. And he said, dear brother, don't go to Uganda. I feel led not to go to Uganda. I don't know about you. I haven't checked that out, but that's what he was telling me. Yeah. Amen. He says there, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Now notice this, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's why I said there, if you haven't thanked God, you really haven't finished your prayer. No, I said amen. I said in Jesus' name. Well, did you thank God? Thank God what? Now think about the prayer of faith. Mark 11:24. He said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Well, if I believe I have it, I'm thanking God for it now. When? When I prayed. Thank you, Lord, it's mine. Thank you, Lord, I've got it. Thank you, Lord. That's why when you're really in faith, when it does finally show up, or when it does show up, you don't get all that excited. You've already thanked God for it. Well, why aren't you excited? Well, I already got excited. When did you get excited? When I prayed. When did I pray? When I saw it in the Word of God, it belongs to me. That's when I got excited about it. How many of you know believing prayer is based on the Word of God? You can't pray a believing prayer based on your own thing. It has to be based on the Word of God. Whatever God's Word says, I can believe that. And if it says it in the Word, then I can have it. Amen. And I'm thanking God for it. Amen. You know, sometimes you just read the Bible and say, thank God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, oh, look at that. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. With thanksgiving, he says, with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving. See, he said in his last days, perilous times will come and people will be unthankful. He listed unthankfulness right there next to unholy. Oh, we get off on, it was unholy people. And we're unthankful. We're just like them. There's no difference. He listed it right along together there. He goes on there to say in 2 Timothy 3 that these people have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. Unthankful. If I'm unthankful, I could come to church, sit in church, sing during praise and worship. But if I'm not thankful in all things, then I have a form of godliness, but I'm denying the power of it. No, there's power in being thankful. There's power in gratitude. I heard a minister say this, expect nothing, but be thankful for everything. He was talking about traveling and traveling ministry type thing. You know, you got some folks, they demand this, they got to have this, they got to have that. No, just don't expect anything, don't demand anything, but be thankful for everything. Tell people thank you. I know when I do have opportunity to travel, I know that I had one pastor who said, you don't have to tell me thanks every time. I do. Every time if we go out to eat, I tell him thank you. I do that, you know, my dad's the most generous person I've ever met in my life. In fact, his dad was kind of the same way. When we were growing up, you know, going to farm on Saturday, you know, you'd work hard in the morning, and then you'd go. Now, on the farm, dinner is lunchtime. We go to dinner at lunch. And the most exciting thing for us grandkids to watch was them argue over who's going to pay. You know. And when my grandfather got a little bit older, we were actually in this one restaurant, and my dad and my uncle were telling him, put it away. You know, they're arguing because he's got his money out, you know. Put it away. And the lady, they said, are you guys all right? They thought these two guys were about ready to beat up this old man over who was going to pay the bill, you know. But that's it. My dad, though, he won't let you hardly pay for anything when you're with him. You got to make him, you know, do it. But I know even with that, even though, I'm 56 years old, he's my dad. Every time he buys me, if anything, I always tell him thank you. I am. I'm grateful for it. I thank God. I'm thankful for it. We've got to have that attitude of thankfulness. And, you know, there's a lot of people say, well, you know, I want to, well, are you thankful where you are right now?
Yes.
Are you grateful where you are right now?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Where you are. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Amen. Thankfulness. You know, you'd think that when you preach on thankfulness, it'd break out into a wild Holy Ghost party, everybody running and screaming. But no, people would get real quiet when you start talking about being thankful as a lifestyle. Now, we all like to come and shout in those meetings, you know, woo, you know. Thank God. But as a lifestyle, oh, you're putting responsibility on me now. You mean I'm not going to get that feeling? You know, there's no goosebumps tonight. We're talking about a lifestyle. We're not talking about, you know, special meetings here. Thank God for those. Love those. I'm talking about a lifestyle of thankfulness. No matter what we encounter in life, no matter where we are in life, that we're being thankful for, we're being grateful. We see God in everything. You know, Joseph just amazes me. Joseph had the ability to see God at work. In the midst of trials, even in the midst when he made mistakes, you know, it probably wasn't smart for him to tell his brothers this dream he had about them all bowing down and worshiping him. You know, everything God tells you isn't for public consumption. Okay? But, you know, at the end, he got to the end, he said, what you meant for evil, God turned for my good and worked it in his plan. And you see his thankfulness there. See, when I'm thankful, I can't hold anything against anybody else because I'm being thankful to God. Why? Because of what it says here in verse 16, 17, and 18 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing in everything. Does that leave anything out? Is everything mean everything? That would mean when I'm at church, right? When somebody took my favorite parking spot, right? when Harold Pillars walked by me and didn't appreciate me. Now that would be a miracle, but if he had ever happened. Amen. In that, in everything, give thanks. For this, notice this, this is not just a good suggestion. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Concerning you. You know, I played, again, I always lay this out there because you have to take some things by faith, not by what you see. But I do have one person here that can testify, which is my wife. I used to be an athlete. I played college basketball. I played college golf. Okay? And I used to be. Okay? I've eaten since then. A few times. But anyway, you know, there was a lot of things that I'll never forget. My freshman basketball coach in high school, he was talking to us. He was 6'5", and he had played in Division I basketball there in the state of Illinois. And he said he was talking to his brother about his team. And he said, we're short, but we make up for it by being slow. And if you know basketball, that's not a good thing. Okay. But you know, I could have, you know, thinking back about it, you know, would I have loved to have been taller? Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I mean, and he wasn't joking about it. Ted Owens up here at the University of Kansas, when I was a senior in high school, he told me, I was at his basketball camp. My cousins and I went there 7 years in a row from the time we were, you know, in junior high up through high school. In fact, after I graduated and was playing in college, Coach Owens had me come out and coach for a couple weeks, be a coach at his basketball camp there at KU up there in Kansas. And so Ted Owens, a good Christian man. But he told me, he said, if you were 6'2", he said, I'd have a scholarship right here, right now. We'd be signing it. All right. Well, it's safe for him to say, because I'm not going to be 6'2 anytime soon. But he said, no, I'm not kidding. He said, if you were that tall, he said, but to play at our level, you would have to be that big. Amen. So, would I have loved to have done that? Yeah. But you know what? I know people that because they weren't that, they got so distraught and so down and so that they just gave up. See, when you're thankful, you'll never give up. When you're grateful, you'll never give up. Being thankful will cause you to keep going. In everything, I'm going to give thanks. It doesn't matter what it is, in everything. If I'm short, I'm short. Thank God for it. Amen? If I'm tall, I'm tall. Thank God for it. No matter what, be thankful to God in everything. Because when you're thankful, you won't give up. You can't be stopped. You can't stop a person who's thankful to God. You can't defeat him. You can't get him down far enough. They'll thank God. They'll praise their way right out of it. Amen. They'll just start praising God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. What did Paul and Silas do in the midnight hour? They're in that prison at the midnight hour. That represents when it's darkest. At the darkest part of the day. That's what he said midnight for. I mean, he's not talking about 12, you know, 12. I mean, you know, that's part of it. But at the midnight hour, the Bible says, they prayed and sang praises unto God. That's why it got everybody's attention in that jail. We've never heard that before in a jail. Sing, pray. We've maybe heard some praying, but not singing praises. Now, you know, Silas is probably wondering. I can imagine, you know, he's there with Saul. He's helping Paul. You can imagine him. What a mess we've gotten into. Man, I'm not sure I want to go back. Barnabas was traveling with Paul. I think I'm going to go back and find Barnabas. You know, I wonder if Barnabas and Mark are having these troubles. You know, we're in prison here. Paul just, there, Paul, he had to be Paul. He just had to cast the devil out of that woman. Just had to do it. Had to do it. But no, he joined right in with him and sang praises unto God at the midnight hour. I love what Brother Craig, Pastor Craig says, midnight only lasts a second. It doesn't matter how dark it gets, it can only be midnight for 1 second. When that second turns, it's the next day and joy comes, it's the next morning, and the Bible says joy comes in the morning. So when you're in your midnight hour, you might as well just start praising God anyway, because joy is on the next level for you in about 1 second. That's all it's going to take. Amen. Hallelujah. Being thankful for everything. And that's where I think when you have this attitude of thankfulness, that's when you can sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's when you just start thanking God. I mean, you're just walking around your house. You know, when you get up in the morning and you go in there in that shower or that bathtub and you turn the water on and there's actually water there, thank God for water. Hallelujah, I got water today. Thank you, Lord, for water. Oh, it's hot water. Thank God we got hot water today, Lord. Amen. Because I've been there when it wasn't hot water and you're just thankful for water. Hey, it's water. Thank you, Lord, for this water. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You know, you thank Lord fast in this cold shower. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're out of here. It doesn't take long to get cleaned up in a cold shower. I'm telling you that. You know, that's what... Glory to God. But thankful for water. Because I've been there when there wasn't water. Well, nobody thankful for me then. After that, you know, a few days of that, nobody wants to thank God around you. What's he talking about, Dory? You'll figure that one out later. But in everything, I love that phrase. In everything, give thanks. In the midst of everything. Be thankful, because this is the will of God. Tell me, what's the will of God for my life? Well, I can tell you right now, it's to give thanks. To rejoice, to pray, and to give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you. We are truly thankful and grateful tonight. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Teaches us and guides us, leads us into the truth. Thank you for the Word of God. Your word that's alive unto us, sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you, Father God, that not one part of it will pass away till all is fulfilled. Thank you, Father God, that it's never changing. It is the truth. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise and we give you honor and we give you glory. Father, I'm so grateful tonight. So grateful tonight for this church, for Rhema Bible Church and for each person that's part of this church. Thank you for them, Father God. Thank you because of them. The great work is being done here and not only here, but all over the world. We're so thankful, Lord God, for every gift and every calling that is in this place. Thank you, Father. Father, we just bless you and honor you. Father, I thank you that bodies are healed in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God, that minds are free of oppression in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God, that bank accounts are not full of debt, but they're full of prosperity and riches, Father. I thank you, Father God, that doesn't matter what we have in our pocket right now or not, our needs are met according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I thank you, Father God, and give you glory and give you honor. Father, we look to you. We look to you. We're so blessed. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you that heaven is our eternal home. We give you all the praise and honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Our prayer team is going to come right now. When we dismiss at the end of the service here in just a moment, if you need prayer for anything, you want to come down and pray with them. They'll pray with you according to God's word, because that's where the answer lies, is in God's word. Amen. I want to ask, do we have first-time guests tonight, Pastor Bill? First-time connection team, if you'd find our first-time guests, take them and receive that special gift prepared for them. I'm part of Pastor and Mrs. Hagen in the church. Let's give our first-time guests a big hand clap again. Thank you for being here tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. The rest of us, let's all stand together. You know, one thing that we really need to be thankful for is our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Amen. I'll guarantee you, you can find four people in this church crazy enough to help you rip the roof off of a building to get you in front of Jesus, to get your need met, right? They're here in this place. And so before you leave, and when we dismiss here in just a second, find some folks and tell them, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you. All right. Everything clear? We're good. We got Wednesday night, Hour Power. We'll be here for that. All right. All right. God bless you. Have a great night. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.